Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
It's Clint Sterner and the show on Sports Radio 610 with the 5 o'clock fire.
It is 5 o'clock. It's Friday. That means the weekend is near and hopefully you are off work, and the lucky thing for you is, Dirty and Show have the latest for you. And here is the latest. It's not great news. We head to the Astros. The Astros, Zach Greinke is scratched from tonight's start, and the Astros place him, Clint, on the IL due to neck soreness. Tonight, Brandon Belak will get the start in Oakland, and Greinke will be eligible to return from the IL next week. Not just that, Clint. Greinke joins Michael Brantley, who is on the IL, Kyle Tucker, who hasn't been able to play in the outfield since returning, and Yordan Alvarez, God bless his soul, is dealing with soreness in multiple places. The Astros are really limping to the finish line. That according to Adam Spolane, SportsRadio610.com.
I've never heard, and now I've only been in this business full-time for a while now, but I've never heard a Major League Baseball team dealing with so much soreness throughout the season.
It's
my neck, my back.
Boy, you remember when that thing first came out right there?
God,
come on, Buck.
Man, that's another one. Just get up against the wall and let's go. Just get in a stance against the wall and let's go.
Just mount up.
Just mount up. Let's go now. Put my hand behind my head. Oh, sorry, man. I just took off there. But no, I've never seen it. It's weird. I guess the thing is, you say it's a good thing for Greinke. It's happening now and not next week where he's rolling the playoffs. If it's a legit thing, I would like to know with these injuries. I mean, all of them. Brantley and Greinke are obviously on the IL, but Tucker and Yordan, who has soreness in multiple places, are these things that are severe enough that would keep them out of a playoff game? Like right now, if they started off game one against the White Sox, would these be things to keep them out?
I think Brantley's the only one that's a legit concern.
Yeah.
Yeah, look, I think the whole the Yordan thing is the soreness with Yordan.
I can't defend the soreness multiple places.
Yeah, you don't even try to hide it, like soreness in the knees or soreness in the leg.
All over.
Multiple places. Yeah, I think Michael Brantley's the only one that you got to consider, that be concerned about. Older player, that soreness could possibly legitimately be an issue. You know, you need him in left field. You need his stick in the middle of that lineup, no doubt about it. I think Kyle Tucker obviously is fine. Yordan, I'm not buying all the multiple sorenesses. Zach, you know, old dependable, especially if it's just a little neck soreness, he'll be back and come playoff time for sure. So Brantley's the only one for me that there's a little bit of concern there.
It'd be really interesting to see the lineup tonight because they're in Oakland. This is a chance for them. Their magic number is 3.
Yeah. It'd be really interesting to hear you do the lineup again one day, maybe.
Might be, yeah.
I'm just going to quit asking because I know you really like the fact that I keep bringing it up, so I'm just going to say to hell with you and just quit asking about it.
Listen, you do what you want to do.
Okay. Now? And you ain't never hearing about it again.
Okay, listen.
You're not ever going to hear about it again.
You can't not, all right? You will. You'll do it again.
Nope.
Hold on, so.
It's over, man.
But they got the A's tonight. It'll be interesting to see if Alvarez is in the lineup tonight. I know they said he missed one game, right? They said he wasn't going to play yesterday, but it'd be interesting to see if he's in the lineup today.
So, or if Kyle Tucker actually can play the outfield yet.
Yeah, what's going on there? That's another one. Could Kyle, like right now, if it was game one, would Kyle Tucker be able to go in the outfield?
I mean,
or
Jesus,
do you just have a great bench bat?
He's hitting bombs, man. Why can't he play the outfield?
I guess he can't run. He runs on the base pass.
Yeah, I would think. I think the odds of you running harder and like running out of a lateral stance is a lot more difficult. Yeah, it's just like
he's legged out doubles.
You read my face.
He can't run in the outfield. Maybe they don't want him running into walls, but I guess there's a chance he could run.
Who knows, man?
Man, somebody get Dusty.
Getting some guys some reps, trying to figure out this playoff roster, bub.
Dusty a bottle of Cabernet, man. He needs it.
5 o'clock fire.
All right. Yesterday, the Texans lose to the Panthers 24-29. And I think the big story is Davis Mills, Clint. What did Davis Mills do? How did he fare? How was he? And this was David Culley, his head coach, speaking today about what he thought and maybe the progress he's made.
Going into this ball game, obviously, with Davis being his first game getting a full-time start, is that we wanted to make sure that, we kind of kept it to the vest in what we were doing for him. And then, and I think what we end up doing is that we got to the point to where that we probably felt like we, kind of went too far with trying to protect him and just kind of doing what we feel like we need to do. But I think what we did find out coming out of this game was he can handle a lot more than what we felt like because of the way he handled himself in this ball game. And moving forward, we'll just get back to doing the things that we had started doing for those first game and a half when Tyrod was our starting quarterback.
Did you feel like it went that well? Do you feel like Davis Mills' performance went so well where they can now step in moving forward starting against Buffalo next Sunday and just say we can just run this offense the same way we did when Tyrod Taylor was
there? I wouldn't say it went so well to put you in a position to where you feel good about it, but I would say the bright spots were of yesterday's game were when you quit protecting the quarterback with play calling and just called a football game in a two-minute situation. There's no protecting the quarterback. There's certain things that you like to do in 2 minutes. It's usually up-tempo, and he played his best football. I think when you open it up a bit and quit protecting him, I think you saw a better version of Davis Mills, and I think you saw a guy that didn't get overwhelmed. The moment wasn't too big. The pressure wasn't too much. And so I don't know if it's that it went so well as much as it is he appeared to handle those situations better, and he appeared to never not get overwhelmed and for the moment never to be too big throughout the entire four quarters. So I think as a coaching staff, yeah, I think you grow – in your confidence to give the guy more, put more on his plate, maybe open things up a little bit and see what comes of it. I tell you what I love about that is I just love the transparency of David Culley. I love his even though I hated the decision to accept the penalty, or I'm sorry, to decline the penalty and then punt on 4th-and-1, I loved his ability after the game to come back and say, you know what, I made a mistake, and I would, if I had a chance to do it over again, I'd do it over again. And then this time, on this deal here, he comes back and he goes, you know what? We overprotected the quarterback and it backfired on us a little bit. We would probably open it up a little bit more moving forward and we can get back to the play calling the way it was with Tyrod Taylor. I don't know what to make of it, and we can talk about, well, in the second half he should have adjusted and he should have opened it up and he should have been more aggressive. But ultimately, I just love the head coach's ability to be transparent and stand up there and say, hey, man, I made a mistake, or hey, maybe our plan wasn't ideal and it wasn't perfect. I'm a fan of that.
Clint, when you say open it up, what does that mean? Because I feel like most people hear open it up is like what Deshaun was doing when they was here.
Yeah, no.
Open it up means what Mahomes and what Stafford are out there doing. Like what do you mean, and what does he mean by open it up or more? What Tyrod Taylor was doing, was that opened up?
Yes. Yeah, you go into a game with Tyrod Taylor at quarterback, you just run your offense, right? I mean, if you're running the ball well, you run the ball well. If you need some misdirection, you get after it. If you need to go into some kind of tempo, two-minute type of offense, you do it, and you trust that he's going to handle that situation well. With Davis Mills, you come into this game, and number one priority is we got to protect the quarterback. We don't want to put him in position to take a bunch of risk with the football. We want to get him some quick throws. We want to run the football well. We want to take the air out of the football and the responsibility off of his shoulders in his first start if we can. When I say open it up, I don't mean open it up and be balls to the wall, empty, five wide outs, and just throw it all over the park and throw it 50-plus times. What I mean is – game plan as you would typically versus the defense that you got coming down the pipe, and game plan your offense accordingly. Don't game plan to protect the quarterback versus that defense. Game plan to do what gives you the best chance to move the football and score points versus that defense. That's what I mean by open it up. If you feel like you can run the football against the next opponent, Buffalo, then go in and run the football. If it doesn't work, hell, then you can open it up. But whatever your game plan is, it doesn't need to be, well, you got to protect the quarterback at all costs. I think he earned the right this past week. Left a lot on the table, right? Left a lot to be desired in the performance of the quarterback for the Houston Texans. It can be a lot better, but he played a sound enough game to deserve the offense moving forward as give him the best opportunity to have success, not protect him from making mistakes.
Yeah, so it'll be good to see. We'll see what this means. And I do hope – I know what – maybe I don't know exactly what open up is, but I do know there was a conservative nature a lot with this with him and how they handled him. And I do hope to see a little bit more of it. But I understood it, but there was –
there was a conservative nature with Tyrod Taylor as well. I mean, they used their running backs really well in the first game. They ran the ball effectively in the first game. You know, I think in the first half of the Cleveland game, now Tyrod played lights out and made some off-schedule plays, threw the ball well. They dialed up some great, really creative plays for Brandon Cooks. And so it was really a group effort, I think. Even when Tyrod Taylor was in there. But I think it was conservative. It was creative. They ran the ball effectively. And so I don't know that that changes a whole hell of a lot. It's not like they were just wide open with Tyrod Taylor in there. So, I don't know how much it changes. I just know that when I hear open it up, we go from, hey, let's protect this young quarterback to, hey, let's game plan an offense and see if we can't go in there and win a ball game.
5 o'clock fire.
All right, and the NFL, they've made a move. The NFL have informed suspended former All-Pro wide receiver, God, that was a long time ago, Josh Gordon, that he is reinstated into the NFL, and Gordon is expected to be eligible to play as early as week 4. I've already seen this a bunch. The Texans should go after him. The Texans should go after him. They're short on receivers. They're low on receivers. They should go after him. I don't think the Texans should go after I know the Texans aren't going to go after him for what they're trying to build here, but I wonder if there's going to be a team that takes a chance to bring him in. I understand his talent, and it says former All-Pro, but that feels like a decade ago. I know it's not, but it feels like that long ago. It'd be interesting to see what team takes a chance. I don't think it's going to be the Texans, do you?
I hope they don't. I mean, I understand everybody's got demons. We've all got them. But good gosh, I mean, how many opportunities does a guy get to be a professional athlete and have all of the, the things that come with being a professional athlete before you say, hey, he obviously can't handle it. To me, this is borderline ridiculous. How many times has he been popped?
I don't know.
He's been banned from the league 2 or 3 different times already. I mean, I'm out on the Josh Gordon deal.
Yeah. All right, a crazy first few games for the Texans, but I think the biggest thing that got Texans social media going was the decision that David Culley made. The thought is for you, was it a bad bonehead decision or was it just a weak conservative decision? We'll discuss that next.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first 3 orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s. And each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
It's a Football Friday on Sports Radio 610. Here's Clint Sterner and the show.
All right, let's hear it. 713-572-4610. You can call in, text in to Show's Army text line. The play last night, 4th and 4, coming out at halftime. It's 7-6. Clint made a video, said it's a ball game now. It's a ball game. You know, you can maybe do some things with the young fella. They get a nice little drive. Most of it helped by the Carolina Panthers. And how many times did they line up offsides last night? Just repeatedly. And they helped him down the field. But 4th down and 4 at the Panthers' 39-yard line, and David Culley elects to punt instead of either going for it on 4th down, kicking a field goal to give give the Texans a 9-6 lead. He went to go for it.
For sure.
And I think, I don't know, would you say, Clint Tyler, the overwhelming thought from Texans fans was, a decision they didn't agree with, they didn't like. At least,
yeah, I would say that.
At least my timeline.
I think the perfect way to couch it. Look, I what I call it.
I don't know. I'm waiting for the perfect way to couch it. Yeah, you didn't forget how to.
No, the perfect way to couch it is you're playing not to lose.
And
this team can't. They ain't good enough. They're not good enough to play not to lose. Right. I mean, you can play conservative ball, make the right decisions all the time, don't have penalties. You know, and don't turn the football over, play a very clean style of football. You can do that and win ball games if when the moment arises like this, you go get points, right? When the moment presents itself, you have players that can go make plays.
Was it a bad decision to you?
Yes, absolutely. All things considered, I thought it was a bad decision. I called it bonehead earlier. Maybe bonehead's not the right word. Bonehead was last week. It was a poor decision. It was a decision that was playing not to lose in a moment where 99.9% of coaches are aggressive because you score at the end of the first half, you get the ball coming out at halftime, you have an opportunity to swing the scoreboard 10 to 14 points without Carolina ever touching the ball offensively, without Sam Darnold ever touching the ball offensively, you had a chance to swing the score 10 to 14 points, and you chose to punt from the 39-yard line on 4th and 4. And you chose to be aggressive on first, second, and third down, you know, before that, leading into that. I don't understand the thought process there, given everything we know about how the game was being played, the possessions, just generally speaking, possessions were being very, very limited. You know, you don't know how many trips you were going to get down there inside the red zone to at least threaten to score points. And yeah, I think it was a poor decision. I think it was a decision playing not to lose. I think it was super conservative. I think your team did what it needed to do in the fourth quarter to make it a one possession game. And in moments like that, you look back and you go, man, that would have changed the game. And to me, in the moment, you look at it and go, this is a time where I got to go all gas and no brakes.
Yeah, if they take the lead, you potentially start to put some game pressure on the Panthers, especially how their offense was playing. Whit McCaffrey went out, and the Texans' defense was giving them some problems. I think I agree with the texter here who texted in. I don't know if it was a bad decision, but it was a weak decision. I think it was very conservative, but for me, I understood it. I understood, like, I could make sense of it as, in his mind, not saying I agree with it, but I could make sense of it in David Culley's mind or whoever all were making the decisions thereof. All right, young quarterback, 4th down and 4, coming out, man, my defense has really shut them down, especially since they've lost their number one weapon. Let me get them inside the 10, inside the 5 maybe. I can maybe get a turnover. My defense has been getting turnovers all year long. At least stop them there and get another short field and really push this thing. Instead of putting the game right here in this situation on my young quarterback, and then if he doesn't get it right there, they get the ball at midfield, and that's a momentum killer. I think I can understand that thought process. I don't know if I agree with it, but I can understand that one.
Yeah, this one's tough for me, man. I think generally speaking, if you're just middle of the game, inside the 40-yard line or right around the 40-yard line, and you got a fourth and short, electing to kick a field goal or electing to punt right there, maybe. But I just, when I look at the situation in that ball game, I just can't come up with one where I'm punting the ball down inside the 10. I can't come up with one where I'm not attempting a long field goal to take the lead, which would have swung the game 10 points with Sam Darnold not touching the ball. Or I'm not going for it on fourth down there to try to swing that football game 14 points. I can't couch it any other way. I'll stop with the bonehead stuff. I'll stop short of bonehead because it wasn't.
Last week was ridiculous.
Yeah, there was no excuse. That was inexcusable last week. But this decision was a poor decision. It was a bad decision. It was a conservative decision. It was a playing not to lose decision. And I think this football team will not win another football game if they don't make those decisions differently. Firmly believe it. Because you look at what that – because you hit the nail on the head earlier. We can go beyond just this one call.
Just one
play. Right? Last week was bonehead as hell. But outside of the level of boneheadedness, the reason why you did it was out of fear for turning the ball over, no confidence.
Right. It seems like that is just where he lives in. Yeah, let's play it safe.
Yep. And then you look at the way the defense played in the second half, and it was super conservative. You look at the way that you really never made an adjustment to get away from protecting your young quarterback until the game. It was too late in the game, and you were down a few scores and had to throw the football. Like, everything they've done is conservative. And I just – this football team, they can be conservative 90% of the time, but 10% of every game is going to be, you have to put them on the table and go make a play. And they're going to have to do that to win ball games because they're not good enough to separate. They don't have enough players, X-factor type players, to separate otherwise. The coach is going to have to be an advantage. The pick your moment to be aggressive is going to have to be an advantage in order for this team to win ball games. They're not good enough to overcome conservative play start to finish. Call it conservative. Call it playing not to lose. Call it whatever you want. This football team's not talented enough to overcome that style of ball.
All right. There's something else that we can touch on that coming up. But coming up tonight, very important. Coming up at 8 o'clock, this starts in our efforts to raise more awareness of National Suicide Prevention Month. Join us for our special programming of I'm Listening. It's a 2-hour show featuring some of the biggest names in sports and music telling their stories.
That's right. They'll be sharing their experiences and insight on mental health, man. And you said it was some of the biggest names in music and sports. Well, it's some of the biggest names here at Sports Radio 610 right here in our building. Seth Payne and Cecil Shorts, both former Texans. They'll both be opening up about their own struggles and successes when it comes to mental health, dealing with it, living with it, getting beyond it. They've got some powerful stories, so you want to tune in for sure.
Yeah, they do. It's tonight at 8 o'clock right here on Houston Sports Leader Sports Radio 610. And please remember, you are not alone. For more info, go to imlistening.org. Let's continue that, because the big part, the big scary part is not necessarily the play or even last week's bonehead play or decision from David Culley. It's really starting to potentially open up a bigger thing that really doesn't make sense when you look at David Culley's history. We'll get into that coming up.
It's a Football Friday on Sports Radio 610. Here's Clint Sterner and the show.
Yeah, as we were talking about the fourth and four play, and I'm glad you brought up last week. And if we look at these plays, and if you're just joining us, the fourth and four play, which I think was the biggest play that people have talked about, I was in the press conference room afterwards, and almost every player that came up and coach, that was one of the big questions or multiple questions about the fourth and four punt play. To Brandon Cooks and them were, hey, would you have liked to see Coach go for that or whatever? And David Culley, his explanation. Yes, he was very conservative with that. And then last week's decision, the fourth down that he accepted and punted, well, that's just in a different vein. That was I don't know what the hell that was. But what it does show is something that could be concerning going forward. And depending on how long David Culley is the head coach, and that is his overall conservative nature. Is this going to be what he is moving forward? So let's say in 2 years, the way this team was developing in the first six quarters of the season, you could see potentially they take steps after this year and next year and maybe become more competitive. And in 2 years, if he's still the head coach, like, is this what it's going to be? Is it going to be, hey, man, let's just punt. Let's punt all the time. Or, hey, man, let's not go for it. Hey, listen, I know what we're talking about with the game plan, but no turn it over. Let's not really open it up and throw it down the field or whatever. Hey, let's run it. Let's really establish the run game. And like, is he going to be a conservative coach? Because his background is on the offensive side of the ball. He's been a receiver's coach most of his career. But the way he has operated in these first three games, it screams defensive-minded coach. Like, it screams somebody's been on the defensive side of the ball and you know, they're less conservative to go for things. So I think that is the overall big picture is this going to be what David Culley is?
Yeah, I would say that there's a good chance David Culley's going to be a very conservative coach, big picture. And look, I'm A-okay with conservative coaches.
Have you
coaches.
Played with either – have you had both?
I think in my era of football when I was playing
– everybody was.
I mean, for the most part, everybody was conservative. I mean, it was rare that guys went for it on fourth down the way that everybody seems to do now.
It feels like Houston Nutt wasn't conservative.
No, he was conservative. Very.
Was he?
Yeah, very,
really?
Very okay. Much so.
Maybe his personality just feels like it wouldn't be.
Oh, yeah, well, that'd be fair. That'd be fair. But, yeah, he's conservative big time. He's going to be a conservative coach. He believes in running the football. Hell, he keeps four wide receivers and five running backs on the roster. I mean, hell, he's going to be a conservative coach. There's no doubt about it. And I don't, you know, I'm not asking or I'm not expecting David Culley to change his stripes, right? I mean, you can be conservative, but when you got a chance to swing the score 10 to 14 points in a time, like it's normal in today's game for coaches to go, okay, I want to defer to the second half. Well, why are you deferring to the second half when you win the toss? So that I can swing the game by two possessions, either 6 points, 10 points, or 13, 14 points, right? I want to be able to swing the game with the last possession of the first half and the first possession of the second half. Like, that's why you do it. That's a pretty common theme or a common way of thinking offensively in the NFL. And when you take and have that opportunity and you execute it all the way down to the 39-yard line and then call three pretty aggressive play calls with your rookie quarterback and they don't hit, and on fourth and four you decide to punt, like for some reason you shifted gears in a moment where most teams are pretty aggressive because they can swing the score, and you shifted gears right after three aggressive play calls. Like, what? That's the level of conservativeness to me that I'm just like, that's not okay. Like, if you want to be overall a conservative coach, cool. But when it becomes a moment where all coaches get pretty aggressive to try to swing the scoreboard, you execute it down to the 39-yard line, and then you decide you want to punt, like, that's, for me, that's a whole nother level of being conservative.
So you said, I don't need you to be Mike Martz all the time.
Yeah.
But can you have some moments? I think this is interesting from the show's Army text line. I think it's laughable that we think Culley is making these decisions. Casario is conservative, and he has a headset in Culley's ear because Culley would have gone for it. Do you some of that is silliness, but do you think it? Do you think maybe this is coming from above?
No.
David Culley and that.
No.
Nick Caserio is.
No.
Is,
I've said it from the jump, and I'll stick to my guns. I may be dead ass wrong. I do not believe that Nick Caserio has input in the football game, minute to minute, drive to drive, play to play. I don't believe it. If that's the case, if he does.
But what about going into games and saying, all right, this is.
Yeah, I'm sure maybe. He's bringing some knowledge to the table that he was with the best coach of all time in the game, Bill Belichick. If I were the head coach of the Houston Texans, I would want to lean on his experience with Bill Belichick in certain situations. But here's my deal. Like, if Nick Caserio is on a headset and he is having input into what decisions are being made, there is absolutely zero chance David Culley declines that penalty last week and then punts on 4th and 1. If the GM is in the head coach's headset,
is that what shut the door to that?
No, I didn't think it was. I just don't think it's real anyway. I've never experienced everything. I'm not the end all be all, but I've never experienced a non-coach being in a coach's ear on a play to play, down to down, situation to situation manner. Like that doesn't even make sense to me where the GM would think that would be beneficial. Now, if he's sitting there and it's only like game management, like time, like clock management stuff, okay, I can see where he would be that guy, could be that guy that the head coach could punch a button and lean on in like clock management situations or something specific, but not in, hey, are we going for it on fourth down or not? Like, I just don't think Nick Caserio is that guy. I've never believed that he was that guy. If he's got a headset on, which some have seen that he does, I think it's more to help him evaluate what the hell's going on with the coaching staff and what's going on in the game with the players, and to get a vibe of what that environment's like and who's dog cussing everybody and what the temperament of the coaches are and the players are. I don't think it's to have input on a play-to-play basis. I refuse to believe that that's ever been the case with Nick Caserio.
But even if we walk, if you're just joining us, we're talking about the conservative nature. Like, we're looking at the last 2 weeks, the infamous punts on fourth down. I think they're two different things. One, I think it was just, as he said, if he had it over, he'd do it over, a brain fart or whatever against Cleveland. But I think yesterday was one that was more, you can at least understand his conservative thinking with the rookie quarterback and all that. But it was conservative overall, and we're discussing, is this potentially what we have to look forward to in him? And David Culley, just a conservative coach. To me, from what the texter, the Caserio thing doesn't even hold water for me, because if you look at where he's coming from, he certainly didn't learn being conservative in New England. They're not conservative. I mean, Belichick was not a conservative coach. I mean, hell, he's the one who went for it on fourth down in Indianapolis on his own 35, so Peyton wouldn't get a 4th and 7 with Brady, so Peyton wouldn't get the ball back himself. He's not, so that doesn't hold water. That's the part that is confusing for me. Caserio doesn't come from a place that's conservative, and neither does Culley. Culley, if you look at the two main coaches that he mentions when he talks about these are the guys up, John Harbaugh, I watched him play the Chiefs, and they went for every fourth down no matter where they were on the field. Right. I'm not exaggerating. They went for every fourth down. And last week, they won the game on their own side of the field, up one, going for it on fourth down. Andy Reid, I covered Andy Reid for years. Andy Reid ain't conservative. Andy Reid ain't punting. He's going for it. David Culley looks like he's coached under Marty Schottenheimer, Bill Cowher, who are other conservative-ass defensive coach. Like, he seems like he's coached under defensive coaches, and that's the mindset he has. I don't know where it's coming from. It's just odd. I hope that is not something to deal with. There is nothing worse than being a fan of a guy, of a team who, you know, 4th down and 5. Their other side of the 40, he's punting. He's punting. When you just feel like you get – like, that one's a hard one to swallow, and it'll be interesting to see if this is actually him and what he does.
Yeah, and I, look, I I lean towards it is, because if you look at, even though like last week's debacle was knucklehead, I mean it was bonehead, it was inexcusable. It was inexcusable, right? This one is just playing not to lose and super conservative. You're correct. Two different, but the message that both of them send is a lack of confidence in the offense. Everything's safe. Everything's playing not to lose, and that the thing is the moment yesterday. It's not just did he go for it on fourth down or not. The moment itself, right, was a big moment that would have swung the game. That it's pretty popular in today's game to be aggressive. And he chose not to. That's, to me, it's not about just a random fourth down that he chose not to go for it. There's more to it than that. It's deeper than that. And I think when he does those things, two out of the first three games, I think that he's showing his true color of, hey, man, I'm gonna be conservative as ever, and we're not going to lose this football game because we turned the ball over on the 39 when we could have punted him inside the 10.
Yeah, he's going to be the coach. Wait till the other team makes a mistake.
That's it. And I just don't know that the Texans are good enough to do that, because you punt the football back to a guy like Sam Darnold, and you're going to play better quarterbacks moving forward. Guess what? You do the same thing versus a rookie.
Josh Allen.
Josh Allen's a whole different level, but you do the same thing to Mac Jones in New England. Guess what Mac Jones is going to do? You turn around and you play bend don't break defense, he's going to check the ball down, and about 12 plays later, he's going to be scoring a touchdown. It's the same thing. You're just, in today's game, quarterbacks, for the most part, there's some out there that make mistakes, but a good chunk of quarterbacks you can bank on, if you're gonna flip around on that defensive side of the football, you're gonna play bend don't break, they're gonna check that thing down, march right down the field on you. It's just especially when Lovie Smith is who he is. I mean, John McClain just sat across here and said, yeah, he doesn't blitz.
He's not gonna blitz.
He's gonna play coverage. Okay, that's great. But if that quarterback across the ball from you, If he is disciplined,
and they don't get home,
and them down four you got don't get home every single time, they're going to eat you alive. And the problem is when you combine the playing not to lose on offense with the bend don't break defense like that, you don't have the dudes to win ball games. You don't have the game changers that can go get you a sack on third and 15 off the edge when there's just four coming. They do a good job. They're playing well up front. This D line is giving this team a chance to win in the fourth quarter. But you just don't have the players to go out there and make one to five plays that are just game changing plays, third downs, touchdowns, flipping the field position. You just don't have that. And so when you're super conservative on top of that, it's hard to win ball games, man.
All right, we got Texans All Access coming up behind us, but tomorrow we got a big one. And we got a big one for this show. We got bets going all over the place between Tyler and between Clint, A&M, and Arkansas, Tangle in Dallas. I'm gonna throw this to Tyler first, because I feel like this is important. This is important for both schools. This is an important matchup. This is the game of the day. Tomorrow, CBS 2:30. Tyler, for you, as an A&M fan, the biggest A&M fan I know, why is this game so important? Why is this a big game for A&M?
Well, it's their first true test this year, Show. They haven't had Colorado had a pretty stout defense, but let's not kid ourselves, it was Colorado. And this is the first SEC game for the Aggies this year. It's year four for Jimbo. It's time to start moving forward, taking strides towards that national championship. And they're going to face an Arkansas team that has been looking good so far, and they're ranked. So it's going to be big time. It's going to be big for Fisher. It's going to be big for the quarterback, Calzada. And it's going to be big for the Aggie defense to show everyone that they're for real, and it's not just because they've been playing cupcakes so far this year.
All right, Clint. Why is this game such a big deal, a big game for the Razorback?
Oh, it's easy. I mean, it's recruiting is huge in the state of Texas. Arkansas's got a state. There's more people in the Dallas Metroplex than there are in the whole state of Texas, just to tell you what they're dealing with. If you can walk in the state of Texas and say you beat Texas A&M and you beat the University of Texas in the same year and Rice in the same year, it'll help your recruiting, number one. Number two, Arkansas is trending in the right direction, but they won three games last year. Arkansas is a school that the goal should be to win eight games in on an average year, and then when you get the right crop in there, you make a run, and maybe you can knock some folks off and shock the world. And so Arkansas is trending in the right direction. A&M is a highly ranked school that I think is very, very vulnerable, and Arkansas is moving in the right direction. They're hot. They got a lot of momentum going right now, and I think it would just be a huge win for Sam Pittman to get that extension, and I think it would be a huge win for the Arkansas program to recover because they've been bad for the last 8 or 9, hell, maybe even 10 years.
Clint, I think Arkansas wins this game.
Uh-oh.
I'm saying if
oh, I thought you was coming over my way of thinking.
Arkansas wins this game, this could set them up for a special season. Special season, double-digit wins, potentially kind of doing what A&M did last year, going to a big bowl game like an Orange Bowl. They got Georgia next week too. But, I mean, this could set them up a top 10 win, their second-ranked win. This would probably put them in the – if they won this game, I think Arkansas would probably be in the top 10 next week going to Georgia. So this could set them up. I feel like Ole Miss or Arkansas, one of those teams, is going to potentially have a special season where they end up in a Fiesta Bowl or a Peach Bowl or an Orange Bowl or a Sugar Bowl. This could be the game that takes them to that. And to be honest, A&M can't lose this game. A&M is in a position where they just can't lose this game because of where they are as a program. This is a spot where they don't lose to a team as like Arkansas right now. They are trying to – like they're in the space of we're playing with Alabama when they come to Kyle Field. We're trying to beat Alabama to go to the SEC championship game. Yeah, you can't be in that mind space and lose to Arkansas. No offense.
Well, Tyler, he asked us about our game this week, and then he chewed up about 75% of the time telling us what he thought about it, Bub.
You know what? I think I decided for every meal tomorrow I'm going to have some sort of pork. I'm going to wake up, I'm going to fry a lot of bacon.
You'll have a good day.
Lunchtime, I'm going to smoke a pork butt.
Here's what I want you to do. I want you to watch John Ridgeway, the nose guard for the University of Arkansas, tear up that rookie or freshman center y'all got trying to protect the quarterback.
Nah.
I want you to watch Jalen Catalan pick off two balls tomorrow. All right? I want you to watch how that defensive line at Arkansas is going to keep that offensive line for A&M off them linebackers, All-American Grant Morgan and company, and watch them tear that Aggie ass up tomorrow, baby.
Nope.
Shock the world, man.
10 years straight,
shock
baby.
Shock the world.
They've won 9 years.
He's living in the past.
They've won 9 years in a row?
Yeah, ever since they've been in the SEC. He's living in the past.
Death taxes and beating the hell out of
Arkansas.
Here's
how I know Arkansas is going to win, because the minute you ask Tyler about is this a must win, he started, oh, well, they got their backup quarterback in the game. He started making excuses and it ain't even started yet.
They are going to win, and they're going to win big.
Arkansas is going to tear that ass up. I want that Class A Azul, baby. Yeah. And by the way, those Red Bulls, that second bet we got, the most what was it?
The most yards allowed by the defense. So offensive
That's
yards.
Right. I want to. I got Red Bull for you. I want a bag of diapers.
Oh yeah, hey, that's a good idea.
Tyler's not gonna be in a good place if they lose this game, man. You know he takes this stuff so hard.
It's a good thing they won't.
He's got. We'll see.
You better Monday, hope they don't.
Monday will be fun. A reaction Monday to who will win this big SEC game. Great job. Great week, Clint. Good luck, Tyler, for your sanity. I am Ron, the show. Texans All Access coming up next. And remember, Houston, we love you, baby.
Travel in hotels. You sleep in random places all the time.
And that's where the sore neck comes
from, you get
from,
a bad pill and maybe you got a sore neck. I'm pretty sure the Astros ain't staying
in no crappy
air. I'm sure they ain't that Red Apple Inn over there in 146
that,
in
that
Baytown.
Red roof.
La Quinta.
Ain't nothing wrong with La Quinta. He just booked a La Quinta in Austin for his family next weekend, man. What are you doing?
This ain't no Ramada that they're staying in. No Days in.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run.
the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the pitch, hit, and run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.